Hi, hello, and welcome to another episode of The Dunker Spot. We are part of 342 Productions. I am your host, Nikias Duncan, and joining me as always is my co-host, Steve Jones Jr. Steve, how are you doing, sir?
What is up? Nui Nui.
Whoa. We have an alternative intro and no guest this time. Okay, well, there we go. Well, welcome in, everyone. Here to talk some hoops with you all first before digging into the Olympic basketball over the weekend. I need to issue an apology to both French basketball teams as I had questions about their offense heading into the weekend. And both promptly just one, they ramped it up defensively or continued to ramp it up defensively rather and got dubs. Two, had to chuckle at myself because as we talked about on the last pod, I picked, I think, Germany over France. I was like, well, you know, Marine could toss this on its head. And if we come back on the pod, she scored like 20 in 18 minutes or whatever it was, then we'll know what happened. And sure enough, Marine Johannes loses her mind off the bench. And she's sprinkling in like snatchback one-legged pull-ups and bombing away from three and sprinkling in drives on top of that. And it's like, well, I have to take the L on this pod. And on the men's side, France getting it done and getting to the gold medal game. Naturally, going to talk about that. So I have to take multiple L's and just offer a quick apology. I was proven wrong on both fronts. So I wanted to get that out of the way early. But we will start on the women's side, as we generally do. The Team USA women's squad defeating France in the gold medal game, a 67-66 win. A thrilling game. I didn't get to catch it live. I was at church. So getting to watch that yesterday and going back over it a little bit earlier today as we record on a Monday. That game was in the mud, capital M. Both defenses brought it. The refs certainly let them play for the most part, at the very least. The off-ball physicality was staunch. Both teams switched a ton. Felt like both teams were working deep into the clock in this one. And so if you are a fan of defense, this was the game for you. If you were a fan of three-point shooting or in some pockets of the game layups, maybe not so much. But a really tough battle in this one. I had a lot of fun watching it. But Steve, what were some of your broader takeaways from the gold medal game?
Yeah, break it down. What stood out to you based on the watch and the rewatch?
Well, one, I guess I'll start with the switching. Because like France's defense has impressed for most of the tournament. And Team USA has really been good defensively in this one. And so in a game that neither team could knock down threes, it was nice watching Team USA, one, keep themselves in it with their defense. France was doing the same. It was also interesting watching Team USA kind of get acclimated to the length and the versatility of France's defense. A lot of the early turnovers in that one, it felt like, let's force these entry passes after the switch. And France kind of swarming on those, getting hands in the passing lanes. Even when some of the posts like Asia Wilson would get the ball and try to pivot quickly, it's a quick flash in there to knock the ball loose. France, they would get out and transition a little bit there. So it felt like one, I don't want to say a heavyweight fight, but like it was really a physical battle there. And it took Team USA some time to kind of figure out what they could get away with passing wise. 13 first half turnovers, certainly not what you want. But a lot of those, again, felt like we're just forcing the issue. So watching Team USA kind of calm down in that second half, I think it was four or five turnovers in the second half compared to 13 in the first half. Nice to see them kind of come back from that. Asia Wilson missing some shots that she normally wouldn't in that first half and watching her take over in the second half overall, but finally getting some shots to go in the third, really took it over in the fourth quarter. I still don't understand how she hit that mid-range jumper that hit the top of the shot clock. It almost looked like it was going to hit the shot clock and rolls right in. But timely shot making in the second half from multitude of players. Asia made big shots. Stewie didn't have a big game, but had some big offensive rebounds. Kalia Copper with some, not even timely drives, just ever-present. Kept consistent pressure on the rim in that second half. Got to the free throw line a ton. Kelsey Plum did the same. I think the game really turned in that third quarter. When Kelsey Plum came in, when Kalia Copper came in, we saw a little bit of Sabrina Ionescu as well in that third quarter. It felt like Team USA finally felt like Team USA on both ends of the floor. Felt like the cutting really perked up. They played a little bit faster in the half court. Wasn't a consistent theme in this one, but things kind of perked up in that third quarter. It felt like that's where the game started to turn for them.
It was a steel cage match. That's what it was. Back and forth. And so you look back, Team USA had their defense going early in that one. The two plays that stick out in my head, Team USA gets a stop. Chelsea Gray with a great pass to Stewie. Doesn't finish, doesn't work out. And then Stewie steps out of bounds somewhat after. And then we're stuck in 5-7, 10-5, 10-7. Mm-hmm. Battle, loose ball, attack, drive, no calls, no play. And then for me, it was okay. There's a lot of turnovers from Team USA. And France's activity was good, but some of them were of the, hey, what's going on here variety. Mm-hmm. And then they had as 4 turnovers and 4 field goals attempted at some point in the first quarter. And when you look at the first half, where like France is 8 of 34 from the field, but Team USA has 12 turnovers and 6 made field goals. Just an odd game, a messy game. You have Alyssa Thomas' strong drives. The finishes weren't there. Asia Wilson struggled finishing. The physicality was tough. You couldn't necessarily stick to one thing. France wasn't necessarily going away. They were able to continue to stay patient offensively and kind of poke at Team USA's defense. And when Team USA did get a stop, they couldn't finish the stop. It was a muddy game. I think part of it was the key was that opening for the second half for France, because there was never really a point where Team USA felt like they had the momentum. I think the biggest point where I felt like they had it in the first half was when the half court three was made by hashtag the other Marine. And so that's where it's like, hey, this is going to be one of those nights. And that's where you like the response from Team USA to kind of figure out how to find ways to get stops, how to defend. Once they sliced that 10-point lead down, I was like, hey, this could get interesting. But I thought it was a battle. Everyone contributed. I think obviously what Asia Wilson did in that second half was huge. I think a lot of what Asia and Stewie did in this one was on the defensive end. I think their timing to protect the rim and their rotations to fly in and contest as France tried to get into more drives, as France tinkered with the spacing to poke at, okay, are you in a drop? Are you in a switch? Can you scram switch? We're just going to keep poking and needling at things and be patient with it. That was really important. I thought Kalia Copper, her ball pressure was huge. And then her drives on the other end were key. You mentioned Kelsey Plum and her activity, her confidence. I thought Sabrina had a really good stretch, A, considering she just was out of the rotation for the first time all Olympics. Mm-hmm. And then B, came in 2 assists in like a minute straight. I thought that was key to at least reestablishing the flow. And you kind of see Team USA trying to find the right combination, trying to find the right lineups. It was a different challenge. You know, they got hit by Germany early, but it was in a way that, okay, we can take away these threes. We can get you in the mud. We're good to go here. France was okay in the mud, and Team USA couldn't get out of it. And so they just had to keep battling, and what a fight it was.
What a fight it was indeed. Glad you brought up, again, the two dimes from Sabrina Ionescu. The cutting from Nafisa Collier in the third quarter, this is something that you brought up in a prior game for Team USA, to where she didn't necessarily have the jumper going, but was able to find cracks in the defense in the half court to get some easy ones there. The looks were pristine from Sabrina there. I was really impressed with Fee just kind of finding a window to cut into there. As you mentioned, the rim protection from Asia Wilson, I think it was 3 blocks in the third quarter alone for her. And like one of my favorite possessions of that game around the 3:30 mark of the third quarter, I want to say, it's Kalia Copper ball pressure darn near at half court. I think it was her versus Marine. Marine gets to the left side, and then here's Asia Wilson with a huge swat to really get the Team USA part of the crowd into it. I think it was an immediate foul after that, but the crowd was certainly ramped there. You could kind of feel some of the momentum turning there. And just really on that note, like I was just impressed with what Kalia Copper was able to do on both ends of the floor. Like we've talked about the drives, how timely she was. You brought up the ball pressure. There was that play there. There was a play towards the end of the third. A quieter possession where Kelsey Plum's involved defending a pick and roll. It's a switch. Kalia Copper quickly scrams Kelsey Plum out of the matchup. French tries to force the ball inside. The ball goes out of bounds. It's a turnover there. It's just like, this is good stuff from Kalia Copper. Doing the little things, cleaning things up. She made a real big impact with that second unit for Team USA. On the France side, you mentioned hashtag other Marine. If there was a theme for me, well, I guess first, a shout out to Gabby Williams. And I felt so bad for her. Just watching the immediate reaction of her last second shot as she quickly realized, oh, snap, that's a 2. little heroic shot just quickly turns into, we're still down one. This is it. And so that was kind of heartbreaking for me. But beyond that, her defense was fantastic in this one, as it always was, as it always is. The drives hit for her. Some of the pull-ups that she made, both inside and outside of the arc, kind of had me reeling back in my chair as I was watching the game back. Like, oh, she is, one, she's here. Two, what are you supposed to do with that? Because, like, gameplay-wise, you probably take Gabby Williams taking a pull-up three against an under, or she has Asia Wilson on an island, and she takes a pull-up long two. Like, you probably live with those. But then I had Drew Voice in my head as I was watching this. It's like, you can live with these shots until you can't. It's like, well, this is exactly what Steve is talking about here. So I wanted to give props to Gabby Williams, who was incredible throughout this entire Olympic run. And selfishly, I would love to see her in the W again if she's interested in playing in the W. So I wanted to give her props first. But to Marine, one thing that did kind of stand out on the not so positive side, she was very aggressive in this one. She never really had it going. And I guess zooming outside of whether the shots were made or missed, like, it was interesting watching Team USA going from, okay, let's go drop and see what happens. Let's mix in a late switch. Let's see what happens. Okay, let's just ramp it up against her and see what she does. Particularly when she was running pick and rolls near a sideline. Let's just put two on her, get the ball out of her hands. Let's see if we can rotate out of that. She never really had it going. And Team USA, I felt like, at least tried to dictate and make sure that she couldn't get going. Anything in particular stand out about how Team USA defended Marine Giannis in this one?
No. Did you issue an apology to Marine and then immediately slander Marine 10 minutes later? Is that what we're doing?
No, it's not slander. It's just they've needed her offense. We saw throughout the tournament when she is able to hit some of these kill shots, and when she's just able to spark, here's a random 8-2 run with her making two threes, like, it just takes France to another level. And when she isn't able to do that, it gets tougher for their offense.
Volume shooters are volume shooters. It happens like that. Here's the thing you have to realize about Team USA. Like, W players are generally an advantage, except you're playing against a team full of the best W players. And every time they face a W player, they say, not you. They did it to Satu. They did it to all of Australia. It's just the only one they couldn't do it to was Emma Miesman.
That's fair.
But you can tell the way they defend those players, it's a little bit of a nah, we're not doing that.
No. A little extra juice. So a little bit unfortunate on that front, but.
Well, no, here, I'll peel the curtain back. So there, I don't know who tweeted it, but there was a tweet earlier in the week, and it said, Team USA advanced to face the Seattle Storm. They were talking about Australia. Just because of the number of players that either are on the Storm or were on the Storm. And I was excited about the Australia matchup. I was like, hey, they got Ezzy, they got Atlanta, they got defense. You know, the offense might be question mark, but it could get interesting. And then I quickly realized, oh yeah, there's a lot of W players. And the way Team USA was defending them was, hey, we're familiar with your game. And I was like, oh, well, that changes the math a little bit. So yeah, Marine tried her best. When she caught that ball in that last possession and no one was around her, I thought it was over.
I knew she was about to take two dribbles, pull up off one leg from 45 feet, and we were going to overtime. I was very surprised that she passed the basketball. I will say Gabby, like, did the wide receiver hand up very early in that possession. And so, like, on one hand, I appreciate Marine saying, actually, Gabby's got it going. I haven't really had it going. I know I can get this pass here. I will do so. But then there's the other side where I'm like, hey, I'm trying to remember who the second person was. I know Jackie Young was one of them, or Kalia Copper was one of them, because Jackie fouled out. But it was like two Team USA players on one French player on the right side. And this is how Marine ended up just being as open as she was. And I was like, I feel you, but you might have been the best option in this case, considering the type of shots that you already take. If no one was around you, you would have at least got a clean look at it versus what Gabby had to do there. And for her to contort her body, even get that shot off clean is impressive to me. But again, foot was on the line, ends up being a 1-point loss for France. But a very hectic ending to that one. A lot of whistles in that fourth quarter. Not necessarily argue like rough quality or anything like that. It was just a lot of, here's a tie-up, here's a jump ball, here's another shooting foul, here's a loose ball foul. I will say quickly on that front, I've kind of felt for Jackie Young. You can just kind of see her progress to the point of like near laughter with some of the off-ball fouls that she was being called with. And then again, eventually fouls out of that one. So again, an overall physical game, but some of that get a little bit funny to watch. I wonder if I would have felt any differently watching the game live. I guess I'll ask you, I imagine you got to catch it on Sunday morning. Like, what was the general viewing experience like?
You calling me a heathen?
No, I'm not.
Well, I mean, you gave your reason why you couldn't. So I'm just, anyways. It was stress. It was, oh no. I told you, my first quarter experience was, hey, there's a lot of turnovers. Hey, the turnovers. Hey, the turnovers. And then there was a Brittany Griner post up. I was like, okay, maybe this established BG. Good to go. Get the flow going. Got one, missed the other one. I was like, oh no. All right. Now we're cycling through lineups. You don't know who's playing. Team USA couldn't get to that second gear. And it was just, oh, we're in the danger zone. We're in the danger zone. We're in the danger zone. And it's like, okay, 25-25 halftime, we're good. France comes out, huge run to start. It's like, oh no, because now you've opened up the portal. And the portal is basically anything can happen. It's international play. So now, if you can't speed France up, and France is going to be patient, every offensive rebound counts, every breakdown counts, every foul call counts, if the whistle doesn't go your way, off ball, on ball, all that stuff adds up, and now you're in a race against time. So it's like, okay, we scored 25 points. They came out on this run. This is not looking good. Then they came back. It was like, hey, we're good. And then they gave it right back. And I was like, oh, no. I'm just going play by play in my head of where I remember. Then Sabrina came in, defensive rotations, assist, things started to steady, and then it was just back and forth. But it was a stressful, stressful watch if you were a Team USA fan, and likely a France fan as well. Mm-hmm. France brought it, and you could kind of feel the belief, especially when they started that second half like that. It felt like, oh,
push the tens, like, oh, snap.
They were looking like a team that felt like, okay, not only are we in it, we're going to go win it. And there's not much you can do about that. And that might have been because I watched the Italy Team USA volleyball final before this final.
Why did you do that to yourself?
What do you mean? I was rooting for the country.
I mean, yes. I'm just saying, like, from getting the stress levels.
I didn't think Italy was going to do what they did. I watched Team USA beat Brazil, and I was like, hey, man, we cooking. And then Italy was like, no, we are cooking. And proceeded to cook us for an hour straight. Shout out to the Team USA volleyball team. Great effort. But yeah, that's where I was like, okay, if they just hit that zone, we're kind of in trouble.
I got you. Very much a revisionist history bit for me. I'm just like, man, that's a lot of stress to enter what that game would end up becoming. And so I kind of feel for you on that front. I was a little jealous, though. Like, I wish I could have caught that live. Kind of got to live that game out with the timeline.
No, you don't.
Ah, well.
No, you don't.
I take it back. wish.
we can be honest. No, you don't.
But no, I mean, I'll say it's easier to, like, watch and take notes and all the good stuff. Like, watching it, if not the day after, then, like, just after live festivities versus watching it live. But, like, there is something to just watching with a group of people and kind of sharing the emotion of holy crap, what's going on here, or holy crap, we're about to do the darn thing. So it's, you know, just
Nikias, the latter was maybe 10 seconds. What do you mean?
But it was the most important 10 seconds. Oh, so we'll take it. To peel the curtain back again, because I started watching this game yesterday afternoon. And Steve let me know very early on, or made the prediction very early on, like, hey, Nikias is going to get to a post up in this game, and then he's going to lose it. And sure enough, opening possession of the second happened. And I was like, what is that? And I don't know what happened to Team USA's offense from there. And, oh, boy. It was certainly a muddy basketball game. Also, now that I think about it, I think BG only played, what, 5-6 minutes in that game? Was that just it? She just got that stretch, and that was just... That's kind of tough.
Hey, they were trying to find it. And I think part of it was they turned the activity up in the second half a little bit, pick and roll wise, at times. And so I think that's just the direction they went in. Mm-hmm. But I mean, honestly, it was a pleasure to watch this Team USA put it together over the course of the stretch. They weren't together for a very long time. I mean, it started with the WNBA All-Star Game and Enrique saying, hey, have fun in Paris. Take this with you. But we got to see Asia and Stewie play together on both ends of the floor and put so much pressure on teams in different ways. That wave, we saw Jackie Young go from a DNP to what felt like the third best player for a chunk of the tournament. Nafisa Collier, just consistent and steady. And hey, I'm going to cut, I'm going to rebound, I'm going to defend, I'm going to switch. I'm going to push and transition. Just the defensive lineups with Alyssa Thomas, Brittany Griner, Asia Wilson, Stewie, Nafisa Collier, you mix and match that. It was just very fun. Alyssa Thomas bowling over whatever country you want to insert into the conversation. And then watching the guard play develop, Kelsey Plum just consistently staying confident. And hey, I'm here to pressure the ball, I'm here to bother you. I'm going to shoot these threes on the other hand, and I'm going to drive. And we're going to have some fun while we do it. Sabrina saying, I'm going to nail every defensive rotation so I can stay on the floor. while also hitting every pass I can. And maybe I'll mix in some threes. Like, it was a good thing to watch. Like, Dan Taurasi didn't play as much as some would like to debate in discourse. But it was very great to see Diana Taurasi out there. To end a legendary Olympic career that may not be replicated, at least not in my lifetime, I don't think. And, you know, to every 4 years, everybody is working for second place. You could say that when you win that many medals in a row.
Yeah, that's...
But, like, it's even Kalia Copper. Hey,
first time there, ready.
She's what? What's her name?
Kalia Copper.
That's not what Asia nice. Wilson said.
And I am not Asia Wilson, but all due respect. yeah. Not getting me on that one, bud. But no, how cool is that for Ka to get her first Olympic call and to cap it with the game that she had against France? Again, her defense on and off the ball was very important in this one. The drives were very important. Team USA, as physical as the game was, pretty much lived at the free throw line. Like, they were relentless in their attacks in the paint. Took 34 free throws in this basketball game. Just absurd to me. Phil, I'm super happy for what Kyle was able to do. You already mentioned Kelsey Plum. Asia not having it, didn't finding it. Breonna Stewart not having it offensively in the gold medal game. But as you mentioned, the defense was strong, clean on the glass. Fisa Collier, 5 offensive rebounds in this one, just finding gaps. DT gets to go out. I guess on that front, because DT's already kind of made the jokes like, yeah, I might be in L.A. in 2028. It won't be on this team, though. I will be chilling and watching. Like, I do wonder. I wonder if this is going to be the last one for Chelsea.
It's a good question. I will miss Team USA's tremendous defense into a Chelsea great transition outlet pass.
She's so good.
Chelsea Green just firing that thing. Hey, yeet. And then one of my favorite subplots was just pick and roll with Stewie. Where it's like, oh yeah, you can do both of those things, huh? Let me just wrap around pass behind the back.
Give Chelsea Gray a big that can walk and chew gum at the same time. And Chelsea Gray will find said big when they are open. And like you, and if you're watching the Aces a bunch, you've got to see her just throw these ridiculous passes to Asia. You'll see her throw the long distance bomb to Kia Stokes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Watching her, oh, there's a cutting fee. Let me thread the needle here. Oh, there's Breonna Stewart. Let me thread the needle here. Never going to get tired of watching Chelsea Gray pass the basketball.
And also, can I give a quick salute to the coaching staff?
Sure.
Also, I cannot imagine A, having to figure out those lineup combinations, and B, having to figure out those lineup combinations during that France game, because what? Every time you think, okay, we got this going. All right, Jackie Young's back. Foul.
Well, never mind.
Hey, okay, we need defense. We need to stay in this game. We also need to score, so let's go three guards. Well, actually.
Oh, no, another offensive rebound.
Let's
go
three bigs. Well, actually.
They're doubling on the entry pass.
That was certainly an experience. I want to give respect to Cheryl Reeve and that staff, because to get that level of buy-in, to be able to tap those buttons throughout the tournament, to build that team up in the way they did, that's not easy. So it was very fun to watch. There
we go. A salute to the coaching staff, a salute to Team USA, a salute to France, who put up one heck of a fight in this game and just had one heck of a run, period. So I certainly want to salute them. Just to put some numbers on the board, Team USA only converting 39% of their twos in this one. But again, 27 of 34 from the free throw line. Also went 2 of 12 from three. Only took three threes in the first half. Felt like Kelsey took three in the third quarter, so they certainly ramped up the volume in the second half, but not to typical Team USA standards there. 18 assists on 19 made shots for Team USA. And this one, so a highest assist rate of the tournament. Certainly not their highest assist total, though. France, 12 assists on 23 made shots. Team USA was able to win the rebounding battle 48-39. Both teams had 16 offensive rebounds, 15 stocks, 9 steals, 6 blocks. For Team USA in this one, France was able to win the turnover battle 14-19. Again, as mentioned, Team USA with 13 in the first half alone. But Team USA able to win the fast break battle 15-6 in this one. And that could have been higher without some of the turnovers that we saw. I think back to the first quarter. Well, like I think Jackie Young just got overthrown by like 10 feet. There was a little bit of contact that she was trying to run out. But that ball goes out of bounds. That's a quick one off the top of my head. But what a basketball game it was. Asia Wilson named MVP. 21 points, 13 rebounds, 5 of those coming on the offensive glass. A steal and 4 blocks. Kalia Copper with 12 points, 5 boards, 2 steals off the bench. Kelsey Plum also chipped in with 12 points and 4 assists off the bench. Nafisa Collier with 7 points and 11 rebounds, 5 offensive rebounds for her, including some really timely ones in the fourth. And a steal for France, Gabby Williams leading the way with 19 points, 7 rebounds, and 3 steals. I mentioned Asia Wilson named MVP. As both of the Olympic basketball games were able to close out over the weekend, the Olympic Committee did announce the All-Star 5, so the best 5 players from each of the Olympic sides. The All-Star 5 on the women's side was Asia Wilson, her teammate Breonna Stewart, Gabby Williams, Alana Smith, and Emma Mieseman. Hard to argue with any of those 5. Any surprises for you? Anyone else that you would argue could have earned a spot among those top 5? Or does that seem right for you?
No, I think the first 5 seems right. I you could maybe argue Ezzy, but I think Alana was very good during this tournament. It was the second team that was very interesting to me. I want to give them a salute. This felt very Nikias coded with Ezine Kalu.
Yes.
Julie Van La, Satu Sabali, Valerian Ayayi from France, and Ezzy Madmagor. That's very much the Nikias squad, I feel like.
When you know me, you know me. Can I just say, on Ayayi very quickly, before we like fully transition from Team USA and France, she put some of the most fun passes in the tournament on film for me. And maybe that's just like tall player bias that I have, but it felt like she was finding a cutter or 2 or 4 every single game that I watched with France. I just like the way that they moved her around the board. So a quick salute.
See, what did I tell you?
Hey, I tell you what, you do a podcast with someone, you typically get a beat on them. But speaking of Australia, and I guess Belgium, as we had a rep, Australia defeating Belgium in the bronze medal game, 85-81. Ezzy with her biggest offense performance of the tournament, 30 points, 13 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, and 3 blocks in that one. Alana Smith with 13 points, 12 boards, and 3 assists. Sammy Whitcomb with 14 points, 5 assists, and 2 steals. Julie Van Loo with 26 points, 11 assists, and a steal. Emma Mieseman with 23 points, 5 rebounds, and 2 blocks in that one. And also, as you mentioned a little bit earlier, the Team USA-Australia game, it was kind of funny for me, like, watching, I think it was, Australia-Serbia, I believe, was the game before that. and I am watching Australia just dice them up on cuts. And, oh, you're switching. Let me slip right on in here. And then the face Team USA's defense, there's like, actually, you're not getting any of that stuff. I'm glad you enjoyed your offensive freedom. We are just going to shut this down. We're going to get out and run. And we're going to build a lead immediately. So thank you for coming. But not today, to your earlier point.
I agree.
I agree. Okay, so yeah, it was the Australia-Serbia game. It was an 85-67 victory for Australia before facing Team USA in that one. Belgium able to beat Spain 79-66 before eventually losing to France. France was able to get an 84-71 victory over Germany. Team USA an 88-74 victory over Nigeria. Again, that led into the semifinals matchups where France got the 81-75 victory over Belgium. Team USA again, big win there. And we close it out with that gold medal game against France. Again, a very thrilling finish on that one. Before we move to the men's side, any other quick salutes from any of the other teams?
Very fun Olympics. But no.
Okay. You already got me on Ezene Kalou. Team USA mostly said no. Actually, I did get a good chuckle out of the point differential not mattering at the end of that game and Kalia Coffer letting it be known that we do not care about last-second buckets. We don't take too kindly for those. I just got a chuckle out of that.
Well, no, here's the thing. Cobb dribbled it out. If I dribble it out, that does not give you the right to go score. I have let you know, hey, we're done here. If you take that as, all right, bet, yeet, no. You're meet my shoulder. That's what you're going to meet.
Okay, so you were on Kyle's side on that one. I would
Yes. All of you played to the whistle. No. If I say, all right, cool, we good, and I give you all the ball, don't run down the score now. Excuse me?
Just trying to make it a little more respectable.
No. You had 39 minutes and 55 seconds to do so. You failed.
Well, okay. Hey, hard to argue with that one. We'll let that rock. But I did get a good laugh out of that one. All right. Transitioning to the men's side. With Team USA once again defeating France in 98-87 victory in this one. Yet another starting lineup for Team USA in this one. It was Steph Curry, Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, LeBron James, and Joel Embiid. Before even digging into like the actual basketball of it all, we really witnessed some special stuff with this Team USA squad. And like, if that's the last time we get to see, I guess outside of like All-Star game stuff, but that's probably the last time we see LeBron, Steph, and KD on the international stage together. And it was just really cool watching all three of them close it out in their own way. And it's just nice to see that kind of talent put together on the same roster. And you think about what they've meant for the last decade plus of basketball. I'm just really glad they got to have that moment together and they got to close the game on the floor together. And so I had like some heartstring feels watching the fourth quarter, which was just a lot of fun. We'll dig into it. But even like after the game ended, watching them on the court, like Steph reacting after the win, like KD's all smiles, LeBron's dapping up everybody. I just had to take a step away from like the analysis or even just the immediate, hey, Team USA won. It's like, yo, this is like an entire era of basketball that we are about to lose on the international stage anyway. And it was just really special to me. I really enjoyed it.
It was fun. As much as we did the analysis on the build-up and the exhibition games in the group stage, for me, it was just enjoying the moment for not just Team USA, for the work they put in, for how they came together, but also you're not going to get to see this again. Mm-hmm. And Kevin Durant vocalizing that during this stretch. Like, we're not going to see this again. And to be able to have LeBron James and Stephen Curry and Kevin Durant play together and the joy that it brought the whole team, you know? Anthony Edwards was like a kid in a candy store during this run. you look at LeBron James driving downhill, getting fouled, hitting his taunt, and the whole bench is doing it as well. You look at LeBron and Steph both doing the night-night. Like, those are moments you don't get back. Stephen Curry's incredible, ridiculous, wild shot that capped off an incredible, ridiculous shot-making spree. One, LeBron and KD were just wide open on the weak side. This is a hilarious visual. Two, their reactions were both hilarious. KD just like, oh my God. And then LeBron with the, wait, huh? And then immediate night-night taunt. It's just one of those things, you're not going to get that back. And so I hope for the majority of people, you're able to take this run in and enjoy this team for what it was and the battles they had to go through. Like, I don't, we're going to touch on it, but that Serbia game, hey, man, that was not just a punch to the face. That was several punches to the face. And that was one of the all-time moments as far as Team USA goes. Them to be able to cap it off and bring home the gold medal, that's the whole point of it. But just the little sequences where, you know, it's LeBron James blocking to a Kevin Durant three. That's special. I think the player where LeBron's pushing it and Stephen Curry cuts back door. LeBron hits Steph. Defense helps. Steph kicks to Kevin Durant. And it's just like, goodness gracious. That's not how any of that is supposed to work. But they're just playing basketball. Like, that was just, it was really fun to watch them put that together. It was really fun, you know, not to dive too deep and get ahead of it because I know you'll want to dive into the France game, but just that team in general, the impact that those guys had and those guys felt. Like, Devin Booker quote tweeted Kyle Kuzma with, I'll do it. And he did it. He did his job every single night. Defense, space the floor, I'll move off ball, random screens whenever y'all want it, I'll slip. That's fun to watch. Joel Embiid. One of my favorite moments was Joel Embiid on the podium hitting the boo taunt for the 18th time. Only everyone else on the team did it with him. And you think about just kind of all the build up to where's he going to play, all the chit chatter about what Joel Embiid did or didn't do for the team. And hey, I come up huge for you against Serbia. And mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure that's what y'all needed me to do. So I've done my job, you know, against Wimby and Gobert, 11 minutes sitting out against South Sudan. Like, it's just, he did what he was supposed to do. Mm-hmm. Bam Adebayo. Hey, I could shoot threes and also defend everyone you want me to and just make an impact. Him and Anthony Davis, their combination was just fun to watch. Anthony Davis, forget what the boss score
was. Really good.
The impact he had in that France game was like, hey, man, this is a good summer for Anthony Davis. And you get a reminder of just how good he is on both ends of the floor, the two-way sequences. Anthony Edwards, the medal round was a little tougher for him down the stretch, but just bringing Anthony Edwards to the Olympic stage and saying, yep, here I am. Here's a bucket. Being able to, you know, exchange and share a lob moment with KD, I'm sure that was great. Jrue Holiday, I'll defend everyone. It doesn't matter. I will defend everyone. Also, I will still shoot these threes. Like, all those threes y'all made fun of me for in Milwaukee, like, I'm still going to take them. Like, pull up three, bop, got you. I think the most fun part about watching Jrue, outside of, you know, the winning things he does, the screen navigation, is those moments where he just got active. There's a moment in the Serbia game where Bogdan Bogdanović was going crazy. It wasn't fun for anyone. And Jrue was like, actually, you know what, man? We're not doing this anymore.
Enough.
Ball pressure, navigation. And then I think it was against Serbia, or not against Serbia, against France. He got a dribble handoff, and they called an offensive foul. And I was like, oh, okay. Then he hit like a three immediately after. And I was like, okay, Jrue's active again. Also, speaking of active, shout out to Redacted on this team for imagining two beefs during both of these games to ramp himself up.
Hey, you got to do what you got to do to get your goal, man. That's what it's all about right there. I appreciate it. But like, to your point, just to briefly bounce off of it, it just felt like, throughout Olympic play, or even if you want to broaden the scope to the showcase games, as they were trying to gain chemistry and all this good stuff, which a little bit of a wrench was thrown into that as KD had the injury early, just didn't play. So it's like, okay, we're getting a glimpse of what they want to run and what some of the combinations are. for when Kevin Durant comes back, what is this going to look like? What's it going to do to the rotation, et cetera, et cetera? And we've had enough rotation chatter, so we ain't going to hang there too long today. But even watching them just kind of deal with that and still handle business is big. But overarching theme, like, it felt like everyone had a moment at some point. And that's that. I don't know if you could ask for much more than that.
Hey, you know what? Speaking of that, I'll give a salute to Jason Tatum. Mm-hmm. One, not an easy circumstance. As a basketball player, as a very good basketball player, part of this Team USA was buy-in, and we will circle back to it later, Nikias, as I will give my final, I swear on everything in my life, final comments ever about that topic.
Okay.
But when he came in, he did his job. Like, you can argue, you can point out the bot score and do all that good stuff. He came in, played defense, switched. I thought he was important in the France game as far as switching and no, you're not going to get anything here. We're good to go. It was more unfortunate because I felt like when he did do the quick decision deal and he got the swing, he had good drives. It just didn't go in all the time. I was like, that's you only feel that. And I say that as someone who played off the bench. You can do very good things, but if you don't like stick the landing, it doesn't have the same impact.
Yeah.
And so you don't necessarily get two or three more of those same opportunities. You kind of have to nail that one to potentially give yourself more. And that's a tough spot for Jason Tatum, very good basketball player, or any of them. You know, that could be a lot of the guys that were coming off the bench, especially the last two games. Anthony Edwards had his moments. Did it feel like he only played 9 minutes?
No, it didn't.
Bam only played 9 minutes too in that gold medal game.
Yeah, we got the early Tatum sub, and I was like, oh, wait, Bam just hasn't played yet. So Bam is just out for this one. This is interesting. And then Bam eventually came in. It's like,
until he wasn't, which, by the way, since if you want to talk about rotation, it's pretty smart to be like, hey, Bam, they're going to go small I can't say the nickname on here, but they're going to go small with their two powerful bigs. Would you like to switch and end all of this? And it worked.
Similar to your Team USA women's commentary on dealing with lineups and stuff, it's not easy to put these pieces together. And like, do I think Steve Kerr and company did like an A++++ job? No, I think there's room to quibble, but I do think it's worth acknowledging how difficult of a job it is.
Hey,
because it's not just, oh, go
ahead. I don't mean to cut you off. They did an A++++ job. Okay. I'm sorry. You got Anthony Edwards to play 9 minutes. That's not, none of what they did is easy. I just want y'all to know that. I just want y'all to understand that. You won't, because you don't want to. Some of you out there are just hard-headed. But that's not an easy thing to get this group of talented players to buy into this program in this way that quickly, to understand the mission, the assignment, to defend at that kind of level, to play five in, five out at times, to stick with the rotations that are in and out, to have difficult conversations with some of these players. Nikias, what's your pitch to Joel Embiid going to the South Sudan game, knowing you're not going to play him? What are you going to say?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know how I would approach that.
A++++. A++++. Exactly. Because guess what they had to do? They had to have that conversation. Hey, what's your pitch to Jason Tatum on keeping him engaged? Well, also, hey, you might not play in some of these games.
Yeah, that's tough. I wouldn't be able to do that. That is why I am on a microphone and not in a Team USA polo.
Hey, that's what I'm saying. How do you? Hey, Kevin Durant, I'm glad you're back. We're not going to start you right away, though. So what's your pitch on that conversation, Nikias?
We're trying to ease you in, big dog. You're real important. You know, you got to do a score. And, you know, you facing these second units. You get to see the game a little bit. And see, you come see, in.
We're getting warmer. But to be able to take this talented team and have versatility and be able to mix in switches and go ahead and have drop defense and pressure the ball. And I think this run in this team deserves a lot more credit than it's been given by some. I won't say the majority, but the some are very loud. And I will say very clearly, very succinctly, very distinctly, if you did the thing where you talked about certain things during this entire run, you did it wrong, and you're going to be so mad in 2 to 3 years. And you're going to be out here talking about, that Team USA in 2024 was a problem, and you didn't enjoy it when it was here. And I feel sad for you. You should do better.
This is an opportunity to be better and to do better. And like that, I guess it kind of goes to like a broader thing for me where there is room to ask questions about why certain things are happening or to feel like a different thing should be happening without losing sight of the ultimate goal or while acknowledging the other positive stuff that's happening. And like, I just feel like so many people got caught up in the Tatum thing. And like, I don't think that's completely invalid. I think Jason Tatum's very good. If we want to go back to the Serbia game, like I think there were some minutes for Mr. Tatum to grab based on some of the performances that were happening in that Serbia game, just off the top of my head. But like, at least understand this is why it's going this way. Also, they ended up with a gold medal. And so like, as Mr. Process, I'm not going to completely wave away everything, because like that would just be opposite of who I am as a person. But like, you still have to be able to acknowledge this was the logic, whether I agree or not. They won. At a certain point, like, it doesn't matter as much as you think it does if they were still able to get the W. And ultimately, to your point, Steve, even if you are annoyed by the Tatum thing, again, I don't think that's an unreasonable position to have. Don't let that override everything else that you're watching. Like, part of the reason the Tatum minutes happened was because Kevin Durant came back, and Kevin Durant was incredible when he came back. Part of the reason why Tatum wasn't baked in as a starter is because LeBron James is there. And we got darn near full gray LeBron during Olympic play this year. And he was the MVP of the whole darn thing. Don't let your criticisms or your fan agendas or whatever, like, override the basketball that is being played and some of the showmanship that we saw. And ultimately, just what this means. Like, again, like, in whatever order you want to put them in, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Stephen Curry, they have defined an entire generation of basketball globally. And they were on the court at the same time. That's really freaking cool at the end of the day. Without digging into LeBron, one of the best passers ever, Steph Curry, the best shooter ever, Kevin Durant, arguably the best scorer ever, getting to the actual basketball, like, just those three as basketball cultural icons got one last hurrah and got gold is crazy. Like, even with Steph in particular, like, if you have Peacock, please just watch the last 3 minutes of the basketball game against France. Just watch the last 3 minutes. That's surely what I did before the pod. Like, watch the game, but like, just focus in on the last 3 minutes if you want to. Wimby gets a bucket. Oh my goodness, it's a 3-point game. LeBron, Steph, inverted pick and roll. Steph, pump fake, side step three. It's like, oh no. Steph hits another one. And then Steph does that to cap things off. It doesn't get much better than that. KD just waving someone off and get the quick one. Like,
that's when you kind of turn the brain off a little bit for me.
Yeah.
That's when you just kind of have the gratitude to understand that this is a moment. We're not going to get back. This was Steph's one and likely only Olympic.
Yeah.
KD has been there forever. We hadn't seen LeBron in a minute. And it came together to do this. Like, we got the visual burned in my brain from the Serbia game. I know we're still talking about France, and I'll get back to stuff. But, like, you're not supposed to have Carmelo Anthony on the sidelines pointing and screaming and waving as KD is waving Joel Embiid to get away, please. As Melo's calling for KD to cook, and KD is also calling for KD to cook, and KD then proceeds to cook. That's just not how it's supposed to work. Like, you're not supposed to have Steph Curry make that incredible shot, and there's 98 different pictures from which you can just choose from. Have you seen the one where Pau Gasol just does not know what he has just comprehended and seen in life? Like, That's a special run, man. Go ahead, guys.
And just very quick, just if I could just make a very brief LeBron point. Just the his greatness and his longevity. Because the Melo mention sparked it. Melo's courtside. Dwayne Wade is calling the game. LeBron James is your Olympic MVP. And they were in the same draft class. That is absurd. Which, shout out to Melo and shout out Dwayne Wade, who I just really enjoyed on the call. Like, I'm just anyone that you could just visibly tell they love basketball as they're calling basketball, like, sign me up. But I just think about those three still being connected. And, like, LeBron is still playing basketball. And not just still playing basketball. Like, we're talking about, was a triple double in the semifinal game against Serbia? Like, that's greatness, man. Like, that's greatness. Like, this might have been LeBron's last one. I think this was Kevin Durant's last one. As you mentioned, this is Steph's first and likely only one. I think he was going to be on the 21 Olympic team, but he had the injury. And they capped it off like this in a gold medal game, which naturally they were traveling for it, but was genuinely a road game considering like France was the host. And stakes couldn't have been higher, and they crushed it. Just as a basketball fan, like I'm fed. That's what it's supposed to be about. I guess that's honestly like my overarching thing with just both of the Team USA squads. Just watching the younger players kind of get in where they fit in, watching the stars do what stars do, overcoming adversity, either in the semifinal round or in the gold medal game. And they were able to pull that off. Like, going back to the top, like, Asia shrugged off like a lot of misses that she normally doesn't have at the basket. Dealt with a lot of physicality, had some uncharacteristic travels. And then look at what her second half was. And then you zoom out like, man, that probably wasn't the best Asia performance. And it's 21-13. I don't know, man. Like, you look at some of, particularly in the Serbia game, but even in the France game, like some of the switches felt kind of weird for Team USA on the men's side. Like, I brought up offensive rebounds a little earlier in an earlier pod episode. Like, would that be an issue? France was able to get some timely ones. And yet they overcome. Coaching staff presses the right buttons, players step up when they need to, and you get that ending on the women's side where Gabby Williams had a foot on the line, and you get that ending on the men's side where Stephen Curry just says, y'all aren't going to have fun. You can if you're a basketball fan, but if you're on the French side, you're not about to have fun. I have takeover now. And I am just blessed to be able to witness that. You know what I mean? And like, I struggle sometimes to talk about stuff like this because it's just like, I don't want to come off as preachy and there's only one way to be a basketball fan. And if you don't do it this way, you're like, no, I don't want to ever be that person. But like, at least take a step back if your frustration with something overrides all of the stuff we just saw over the past 3-4 days.
You take that route. I won't name names, but there's a lot of different topics that people came up with during the stretch Olympic play that, hey, if you did that, you did it wrong. I don't give a darn. Hey, you can ear cups these people all you want. No, no, no. Sorry. You made a boo-boo.
Oh, man. I don't know. Like, I do want us to just appreciate what we're seeing more. Like, there's room for both. Like, I complain about stuff all the time. Matter of fact, as the Team USA men's game was in the fourth quarter, and they ultimately closed it out, you can see my tweet in all caps, very spaced out. Why is Team USA playing this slow in the half court?
Where are you from?
Where are you from? Which, man, shout out to Katie's hilarious.
Yeah, shout out to Katie. You thought I wouldn't get you back, huh? No.
Yeet. Not the hashtag yeet, but no, it's just like there's room to be like, hey, I wouldn't have done this or I don't love this too much. But you got 12 people to root for right now. I don't know. That's I can't quite get there. And like, maybe I would feel differently if I was a Celtics fan. I'm not.
Well, but like,
you're assuming they have 12 people to root for. They have one person to root for. But anyways, what do you think about the France game?
Well, tempo issues aside, like, I thought it was a pretty interesting game. Like, I thought Team USA. Actually, I'll pose this to you. Because, like, watching that game, like, it felt like a C plus B minus effort for their defense for me. And I guess I want to ask you if I'm off on that.
Well, it depends on what you mean by C plus B minus. I think it was one of those scenarios where Team USA kind of had to find it and morph. And as they found it, things got tricky. Because Wemby had something to say to Team USA right away.
Mm-hmm.
And there were moments and pockets. Like, this is the thing where people were talking about, hey, man, if you're going to not play X, you should play Y. Because if you're switching, that person can... That's fine. Switching needs all of your pieces to be switchable for it to have maximum impact. And in this game, it was very clear France was not afraid to post certain matchups.
Yeah.
So they like Drew Holiday, love him. They can guard all sorts of positions. They said, hey, man, they
posted Drew.
You come here and we're going to post you up and we're just going to see what happens. So they had to tweak it and find the different combinations to where, okay, we can switch this matchup here. We can get this and defend this post up and now we're good. Once they started to find those pockets, Bam comes in, why Bam was so key. Okay, now your little small lineup or your one big lineup, however you want to slice it, it's not working as well because Bam has the ability to not just switch, but hey, I can drop and then recover back to mine. And now do you want to post me up? No, mm-hmm. You don't want to post you up. We can mix in these unders. Do you have the guards that can make us pay consistently? No, you don't in this game. So when you say C plus B minus effort, maybe, but for me, I think it's more being adaptable throughout the course of a game, being versatile, having to find it in different ways to where all the pieces that you have defensively can be useful. And that's a high pressure scenario. So it's okay. How much ball pressure are we giving? Are we fighting over the screens? Are they exploiting that? Because again, screen navigation is something that we talk about. It pops. Screen navigation and FIBA international play is different because you're probably going to get hit.
Mm-hmm.
And because you get hit, you might be there, but you're going to have to recover. So now the big has a different kind of decision to make because it's either, okay, I just take it and we switch and now, oh no, they're throwing it in the post, or we hold for a heartbeat. We kick it. What's our recovery? Those kind of decisions have to happen. They're just a little bit different and on the fly. So I would probably more so just credit Team USA for just working to find a different way to navigate different things. Like LeBron, when LeBron was in there with Bam, LeBron was in a drop.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not automatic. hey, Devin Booker, you're fine. We'll figure it out. But now we have LeBron and Bam on the back end. Being able to mix and match those kind of combinations is probably where I would go for me. So what was so bad about that effort, guys?
Not bad. And when I say effort, I mean, like, I should say performance instead of effort because I wouldn't imply they weren't playing hard or anything like that. I think for me, I was trying to balance what you said they were searching to find it with the fact that it felt like France, even if they didn't make shots, it felt like France had answers to what Team USA was trying to do. Like with the switching in particular, you already hit on it, like them posting Drew immediately. Or it felt like anytime they got a small on the switch, it felt pretty 50-50 on if Team USA would be able to scram, insert guard here out, or if that person just caught. And it felt like, I guess ultimately it felt like France was able to ding them a little bit. And it took them a little bit to find the right blend of switches or drops and unders and things for them to feel comfortable. And so that's where I kind of land on like C plus B minus, because it just took them a minute. I hope that makes sense.
Well, no, I mean, again, it's different because you have different combinations of players. You have to figure out who's going to do what. Like the play that everyone has talked about that the footage has been deleted of, they actually executed a beautiful switch, but it was because it was KD, Bam, and LeBron involved. So you can switch the initial ball screen. KD's big enough to guard a post. LeBron sees it. He can scram him out. We're good to go. You go to the second side, it's Devin Booker. In a heartbeat, okay, what decision are we making because of that personnel? Mm-hmm. And so you have to kind of figure those things out on the fly. And again, you've been together for what? 3 weeks, 4 weeks? It's not like you have that, the rotations automatically diced in like you would if you're a team that plays together all the time. So those breakdowns that happen at the second level are going to be more likely because of those split decision type beats. Doesn't mean you're necessarily playing bad defense. It is a breakdown, but at the same time, you have to live with those in the scenario. You have to live with those in this environment because A, you're not going to be able to script everything out. B, it's a different game. C, we all are learning each other. Mm-hmm. Now, a little ironic that that dribble handoff was KD and Booker, who are actual teammates, but
that's neither here nor there. We don't talk about that. That's fine.
Say, I love you.
But no, that makes sense and that is fair. So that may just be B being a little more harsh than I need to be on some of the breakdowns that we saw from them. But again, like I would first clean that up and say a performance instead of effort. So I don't imply that these switches were lazy or they weren't rotating onto, like, no. Like, France put them in some tough spots sometimes. It took them a minute to kind of find what they wanted to do. But outside of that, like, I'm always going to enjoy LeBron as a hub. Or, hey, let's post up. Let's see what you do. If the double's coming, I'll make this pass. If it's not, I'm going to get all the way down here and I'm going to see where you're helping from. I can kind of dice it up from there. I already talked a little bit about the ending with them just going inverted pick and roll with Bron and Steph. Like, I'm always a fan of Steph screening and watching the defense try to figure out real time, what the heck are we doing with this? Are we switching this smaller person onto big screener? Are we putting two on the ball now? Are we just committing to Steph and now opening up a driving lane for, heck, it might just be LeBron if he's the one handling right now? That was a lot of fun for me. I think with the bigs in particular, like, certainly wasn't a loud game in the scoring department for pretty much either of the bigs. But it did feel like Joel Embiid was able to, he was able to make some plays, draw some fouls when he needed to. Anthony Davis, timely offensive rebounds and finishes. We will leave the BAM portion alone for now, offensively at the very least. I think his defense was very important in this one. But actually, I'll circle back to something that you touched on briefly earlier. Victor Wembanyama he's already a terrifying basketball player. And as we get into some of the quibbles, like, I do wonder, like, where his three-point volume is ultimately going to land. Because, like, the timing of some of those kind of raised my basketball brow. But in general, like, I'm thinking back to where he was game one with the Spurs to, like, where he is now in international play. Like, he just seems so much better at, one, dealing with contact. And in addition to that, like, some of the passes that he put together, not just in this game, but just zooming out for overall Olympic play, he processes the floor so much quicker than I think people give him credit for. And it felt like anytime a double would come, again, just zooming out overall tournament in this case, anytime a double would come, or if he knew help was being shaded a certain way, or if a hard double was coming, he's letting it go. And the variety of passes that we saw from Wimby. Here's a regular chest pass. Here's a lay down pass. Here's this wraparound bounce pass. Here's this no look. As the team around him get better, both on an international side and with San Antonio, we get to see the Spurs in a couple of months. Like, we're rapidly approaching, there isn't anything we can really do with him territory. And it was nice to see even those pockets in the Team USA game. You know, nice with an asterisk because, you know, I'm rooting for Team USA to win. But it's just cool as a basketball fan to see, oh, he is dicing this up a little bit. He is reading cutters extremely quickly. There was the late possession against Anthony Davis, I want to say. He ends up missing the three, but, like, watching him get into a step back against Anthony Davis at AD defends the first move well, second when he gets lost. It's like, people his size aren't supposed to be able to do that. The tweet has been made like 100 times over at this point, so I'm not saying anything new. But, like, the thought of this being the absolute worst version of Victor Wembanyama we're going to see is a terrifying thought. And so it was just cool seeing how Team USA tried to deal with him. Like, okay, who's getting the initial assignment here? Because we know they'll move Wemby around the block. if he's a screener, what exactly are we doing? Do we really want to switch this one? If we do, are we trying to scram out of this? What is this going to look like on these post-ups? How much attention are we giving because he's passing as well as he is? And it kind of made me, I guess it took me back to like the guard point that I've had with France, where it's like, I really wish they had better or at the very least more consistent guards to kind of punish teams for trying to shade against Wimby. Because at that point, like if the shots are being made or there are more efficient drives being had off of those swings from Wimby, then you're really in a what do we do with France ordeal, because defensively they were pretty much locked in even when they made the lineup change a couple of games ago. You really didn't have many points of easy entry against France's defense, particularly in the half court. And so just kind of watching that game and then zooming out with Wimby, like I'm just excited to see more and see how both the France national team, you know, 4 years from now, and just how the Spurs continue to build around Wimby. I was just really impressed with the way that he processed the floor in this tournament overall.
I agree. Scary hours indeed.
Not scary hours. I would say to echo what Steve Kerr said, just to salute, to echo Steve Kerr and to echo you, I did want to salute Devin Booker for doing everything that was asked of him. And him sliding in as nicely as he did on both ends of the floor. I think outside of the Serbia game, really, where it didn't feel like anyone defended all that well on the perimeter in that game, as Serbia made everything that you could think of. Like outside of that one, like he was pretty locked in on and off the ball. And if you've watched Sun games, like it's not a new development that Devin Booker is just like legit solid defensively. He is not year one or year two Devin Booker defensively anymore. And you would hope that he would grow over his time in the NBA, but that's neither here nor there. But like Suns fans aren't, you know, I think that was a new experience. I don't think that was a new experience for them, for Devin Booker being solid. But I do think for people that don't watch Phoenix as consistently, I would imagine a lot of folks were impressed with how well Devin Booker held up defensively. And then offensively, again, you already touched on it. Just the quick decision-making off the ball. If we are able to generate a swing sequence and the ball ends in Devin Booker's hands, there's no doubt about what's happening with the basketball. The ball is going up, or at the very least, we don't have to worry about there being a pause. Here's a catch, here's a shot, here's a catch, here's a drive, and I'm either going to finish or I'm going to pass it off while y'all already in rotation. Like, he just did such a great job of filling gaps there. And I'm glad you brought up Anthony Davis earlier, because he was really good defensively all throughout this tournament. Some of the Jokic possessions notwithstanding, but that's Jokic. He does that to literally everyone, so it's fine. But it was a nice reminder of what Anthony Davis can do. I personally am just super excited about what Bam's going to look like heading into the NBA season. We saw some of the tinkering with the three-point shot towards the end of the NBA season and in that Celtics series, which didn't end that well, as Miami was missing a whole bunch of folks and Boston was ultimately a better team anyway. But to see him not lose that kind of aggressiveness to seek out some of those shots from the perimeter was a really cool development in international play. I'm excited to see how much of that carries over into this next season. Are we going to get the 2 threes a game season from Bam, which isn't a lot at all, but it's a start. It's an entry point. And like, what does that expansion do considering all of the handoff stuff that he already does? And as the clips are going around about how motivated Tatum's going to be, et cetera, like, I'm not going to be surprised at all if he uses this as a motivational piece. Now, you can zoom out and quibble if it should be worth motivation or anything like that. But this is a professional athlete. This is someone who is incredibly accomplished. And I would imagine, one, he just wants to win another title. He's finally got him one. And after this summer, wouldn't surprise me at all if he uses it as a motivation piece. What does next season's Jason Tatum look like? I think if I zoom out from Olympic play, I'm just really excited to see all these guys, because Olympic games generally serve as like a jump off point for leaps. And as you talked about Anthony Edwards a little bit earlier, what does this experience do for him? He's now not only gotten to play off of Kevin Durant and LeBron James and Stephen Curry and on down the line, like you've gotten to see those guys practice in real time. You practice with them. You've got to see these guys work out in real time. And if you think back to some of those post-game pressers, or the post-game presser after the Wolves were eliminated, remember Ant making comment about the conditioning and him not, I haven't had to train for a season this long before. And so I'd imagine he already had that in his head. And now you get around some of the most famed workers in the sport. What does that mean for Ant? Does he just come in just entirely different from a conditioning standpoint? Does that make the drives hit harder? Are the decisions going to be made quicker and better? Like, this is going to be really cool for me.
I respect it.
Hashtag I respect it. Well, I have talked quite a bit. So, I'll talk a little bit more. On the stat front, Team USA converting 58% of their twos in this one. Shot 18 of 36 from three and made all eight of their free throw attempts. France converting 61% of their twos. Only shot 30% from three. Went 10 of 17 from the free throw line. Don't want that. 29 assists on 36 made shots for Team USA. 21 on 34 for France. Team USA winning the rebound battle by four, though France won the offensive rebound battle 13 to 11. 10 steals and six blocks for Team USA, though France was able to win the turnover battle, committing 13 while Team USA had 17. Team USA was able to win the fast break battle 31 to 9 in this one. And France winning the bench battle 36 to 26. And on the player side, Steph Curry leading Team USA with 24 points, made 8 three-pointers in that one. Also racked up 5 assists and a pair of steals. LeBron James with 14 points, 10 assists and 6 rebounds. Kevin Durant with 15. Devin Booker also with 15. Anthony Davis off the bench, 8 points, 9 rebounds, 2 steals, 4 blocks. Challenged many other shots in that one. Incredible effort off the bench for him. For France, Victor Wembanyama leading all scores with 26 points, also grabbed 7 rebounds and had a steal in this one. Gershon Yabusele, 20 points and 2 steals. Nando De Colo with 12 points, 3 assists, 2 steals off the bench. Rudy Gobert once again coming off the bench, 2 points, 3 boards, 2 steals in 12 minutes. Any closing thoughts on Team USA France or in general any Olympic thoughts?
Wonderful time, good game. I enjoyed watching it. France's defense was really fun to watch them kind of turn things around throughout the tournament. But special Team USA run.
Special Team USA run indeed. Quickly cycling to the bronze medal game, Serbia defeating Germany in that one, 93-83. Nikola Jokic with a triple-double, 19 points, 12 boards, 11 assists, a steal, and a block. Bogdan Bogdanovic with 16 points. Vasilij Micic with 19 points off the bench. For Germany, Franz Wagner with 18 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals. Dennis Schroeder with 13 points and 6 assists, though he did have 6 turnovers. Mo Wagner with 16 points, 4 rebounds, and a block off the bench. As for the All-Star 5 on the men's side, at least the first team, LeBron James, his teammate Stephen Curry, Dennis Schroeder, Victor Wembanyama, Nikola Jokic were the 5. Steve, any quibbles with that 5, or did that feel right for you?
Felt right for me. You?
Yes. Like, the only real debate that I had, as Team USA had 2 reps, like, I was trying to balance, like, what Steph did in the final 2 games and how important he was and the scoring punch that he provided compared to, like, just the steadiness of, like, a Devin Booker or even Kevin Durant once he made his debut. And so it was more so like a, I guess, like an ebb and flow type beat. But outside of that, like, no quibbles with Bron. Dennis Schroeder was very good throughout the tournament. On both ends, ball pressure was important. The drives were important. He had a lot of fun passing the ball. It shows in the assist totals, but like watch some of the passes that he was making throughout the tournament. Had a really good feel for when his guys were cutting and pick and roll, making passes in the interior. It's really good stuff. Victor Wembanyama, we already talked about what he did on both ends of the floor. And Nikola Jokic kind of speaks for himself and capping it off with a triple-double. Pretty loud performance there. Oh, go ahead.
Did you say ebbs and flows?
Yeah.
How many more ebbs and flows do you need than the last 2 games from Stephen Curry?
Well, because there were also the games before the last 2 where the shots weren't falling and teams were like, hey, let's find that guy. Let's see if we can put him in action. Let's see if we can get some good stuff out of it.
Hey, how many threes did he hit against France?
He had 8.
How many threes against Serbia?
Was it nine? I believe it was nine. It's a lot of threes. A lot of big shots.
Ebbs and flows.
Hey, man, I'm just saying.
The only thing was slowing was the water through the basket when that man was throwing it up. Are you proud of that? Duh.
Okay, you know what? Fair enough. Fair enough. Okay. On to other NBA news. Some scheduling nuggets from Shams Charania of The Athletic. We have the opening night slate. The Knicks taking on the Boston Celtics in Boston for ring night. And the Minnesota Timberwolves traveling to LA to face the Los Angeles Lakers. The day after, the Clippers get their first home game. They start the season in their new arena against the Phoenix Suns. The Bucks taking on the Philadelphia 76ers, also in that game. We have Klay's return date to Golden State. That game is going to be on November the 12th. We also have the Christmas Day slate. Spurs-Knicks, Wolves-Mavs, Sixers-Celtics, Lakers-Warriors, Nuggets-Suns. And we have the Celtics-Mavs rematches for this regular season, January 25th in Dallas and February 6th in Boston. Any thoughts on what we have so far from the schedule?
Yes. Where would you like for me to start?
Well, we can start at the top. Do you like the opening night slate?
Well, again, I want people to put it in perspective. This will be Tuesday. So it will be opening week. So before you start going, well, why would they be on? Everyone's going to have matchups. It's going to be sprinkled out throughout. Don't worry too much. You saw what the next two would be. It's going to be, it'll be there. Don't worry about it. I think, obviously, the champs have to be on there. The Knicks are a fun choice for basketball purposes. Obviously, the television purposes. But, hey, New York felt pretty confident about their odds against Boston. And they are now bringing, hey, we have multiple people we think can guard those two. And we're going to test that out. So that'll be fun to watch. Minnesota against L.A. We got Anthony Edwards getting a little bump up. It's LeBron. It's Anthony Davis, the Lakers. The debut of a really good coach. And so that'll be fun to watch on opening night. I have no qualms.
Okay.
Are you about to attack the Christmas Day slate? Where are you about to go?
attack? No. And so, like, to take my own advice from the Team USA discussion, like, I don't want my quibbles or criticisms to override some of the fun basketball that we get an opportunity to watch on Christmas Day. But we get this new look Knicks squad, and hopefully they're healthy by then. And we get Chris Paul throwing lobs to Victor Wembanyama. Like, that's dope. Wolves, Mavs, we get Luka, we get Ant. Sixers, Celtics, like, we'll just say that there's a lot of smoke there. You get Paul George in the crew. Like, that's really good stuff. Lakers, Warriors, you get Steph and Bron. You also have AD there. You get Nuggets, Suns. They've had some really interesting playoff battles over the past few seasons. Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, Devin Booker. Obviously, Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray, the whole nine. So, like, I will say off top, I don't think there is a bad matchup of the five. But I think all five choices are reasonable and understandable. If I am to quibble, though, I do have to ask, like, what do the Thunder have to do?
Keep like, winning.
They were just the...
They have to keep winning, the guys. They have to keep winning basketball games. They have to sustain success.
You see, the thing about sustained success and the and the San Antonio Spurs.
That's not the part. No, they have Victor Wembanyama. That's why they're there.
I know. Again, it's I understand it. But I'm just saying, like, I kind of feel for the Thunder, who have a legitimate superstar, who were just the best team in the West record-wise last season, who were also, like, top six in offense and defense last year. They win a playoff round, and their reward is they're not on the opening night slate, they're not on the Christmas Day slate. It's just like, again, I understand because of who's involved, but, like, I kind of feel for the Thunder.
I am certain they will be in a TV game in the first week of television. I am absolutely certain.
They had bet. No, I know they are. But
now here's the thing. I have a question for you. The Portland Trail Blazers under Damian Lillard, how many Christmas Day games did they get?
I feel like it's one or none.
One. The Memphis Grizzlies as an entire species and being. How many Christmas Day games have they gotten?
Did they get a Christmas Day game?
They got one. It's Golden State, and buddy, let me tell you, no disrespect, they won't get another one because that to me it's no one's fault. But hey, It is what it is. Nikias, 8 teams from last year are back on the Christmas Day slate. I don't know why people do this discussion and discourse about the Christmas Day slate. Just math. Are the Knicks good? Yes. They will start off the day. You go. Is LeBron James playing basketball? Yes. Is Stephen Curry playing basketball? Yeah, we're up to 3, right? Yeah. Hey, you know who just got to the Christmas party, Nikias?
Hoomst.
Nikola Jokic. Mm-hmm. This is what, year number 3.
Mm-hmm.
So now he's a staple. Hey, are you the Boston Celtics? hey, are you Luka Doncic? We're at 6, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you Kevin Durant?
Mm-hmm.
Are you insert Eastern Conference team to face the Boston Celtics? But usually, think about this. You're talking about the Thunder. There's no Giannis or Dame Milwaukee Bucks on this Christmas Day slate. Thunder never stood a chance. I mean, it's odd. It's numbers. There's only 2 spots, bud.
You know what that means, Steve? It's time to add a Christmas morning game. That's the only way we solve this. We make it a 6-game slate.
The Christmas morning game is the Knicks.
It's time. We get a 9:30 Eastern in there, and then we get Bucks Thunder, and then we good to go.
Nikias, they just gotta keep winning. It ain't their time yet. Hey, you know what? They would have been there if they made it to the conference finals.
Would they?
Yeah. Is Wolves Mavs not a conference finals rematch?
It is. So in that case, would we have been getting Wolves Thunder?
No, we'd be getting Mavs Thunder. Come on, big dog.
And see, then I'm doing the thing with the Wolves. I'm just like, hey, they were near the top of the conference, best defense by a mile, Anthony Edwards. You know, it's just
should have made the conference finals. What are you going to do? Wimby's a staple. Unless San Antonio was absolutely bad, Wimby is going to be on this Christmas Day slate.
And I'm not mad at that. Again, this isn't me saying, like, hey, one of these options sucked. Where the Thunder is just like, the Thunder are really good. It would be cool if they were included. Again, I understand why not. You have Wimby. You have good Knicks. No, you already laid out the case. No, I get it.
If you understand why not, then why are you talking about it? They're going to be all right.
Because I still want them to get recognition. That's all. It is what it is. It is what it is. But those are my Christmas Day thoughts. Maybe we need a Christmas Eve slate to showcase some of the other teams.
No, okay. People have families. What's wrong with you? God, it's bad enough being a team that has to play on Christmas. A Christmas Eve slate? Let them enjoy their families.
Yeah, a quick little doubleheader.
Let me tell you. I'll take a guess. I don't think there's a single person that receives direct deposit from the Thunder that looked at this schedule and was upset that they ain't have to play on Christmas. It's bad enough having to fly out on Christmas.
Well, you know what? That's fair. That is fair. From a logistical standpoint, I'd imagine that'd be a bit of a hassle. From a basketball perspective, however, the Thunder are good enough to be there. And hopefully we see them next year. With all due respect to all of their families and such. But... are you excited for Celtics Mavs in January and February?
I mean, I like basketball, so.
Okay, well, there we go. I have not seen another tweet that really releases more schedule data, so I guess we'll keep it here. If anything else pops up, then we will get to it on the next pod. The one free agency note that we have is the Jazz signing Svee Mykhailiuk to a 4-year, $15 million deal. He shot a shade under 39% from 3 last year. Averaged 4 points in 10 minutes with Boston. Do you have any thoughts about Svee in Utah?
He can shoot.
There you go. He can indeed shoot. We will see. I'm curious to see like what the rotation for Utah is going to look like in all seriousness. Because they have a lot of young, they have a lot of young forwards for one. Like, this is outside of speed. He's very much just going to be a two or a three in the rotation, wherever he lands. But, like, they have a lot of young forwards. And naturally, Laurie isn't going anywhere at this point, as they just gave him a whole lot of money, and rightfully so. And so I'm just curious to see how they dole this out.
You ready for Svi at the 4 minutes?
Like, one, no. Two, how would they even get to Svi at the four? It's kind of where I'm at.
Just asking.
Yeah, because it's like in the front court alone, like, Laurie getting you 30 plus. I would imagine Walker Kessler and the artist formerly known and currently known as John Collins will get some minutes unless he is traded again. You got Taylor there. Like, I don't.
Didn't sound too much fun for your young wings, huh?
It's kind of tough. Because Bryce Sensabaugh, what, 3-4? Kind of like combo forward? I'd imagine they would like for him to play at some point. And this is off the top of my head. Like, if I actually pull up I know I'm forgetting names on the Utah roster right now. Like,
my guess is your young wing minutes go to Svi. Svi is the new Fontecchio.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that. Oh, yeah, I guess we did also get the official terms on the Drew Eubanks contract. 2 years, $9.75 million. The second year is non-guaranteed. For more of your Utah free agency news there.
Oh, okay. We got money to blow.
Oh, also, yeah, just drafted Kyle Filipowski. It's a whole lot of, listen, it's kind of crowded 4 or 5.
Right.
And a little three.
Yeah. So, mm-hmm. If we're doing that, it's time. Oh.
Svi Mykhailiuk is what ended the pod. That's crazy. Thank you.
No, that wasn't what ended the pod. I'm not saying what ended the pod, but yeah, we're good.
Oh, well, okay. Well, that's not what I meant. All right. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Dunker Spot. If you haven't already, please subscribe to us. We're on Apple, Spotify, RIP Google, Stitcher, Podbean, wherever you get your podcasts, you can find us. You can follow me on Twitter at NikaiasNBA. You can follow Steve on Twitter at SteveJones20. Join the Dunker Spot community on Twitter. We're having fun discussions and sharing some funny tweets in there. Join us for our online Dunker Spot watch parties. We're watching, I guess, a little bit of everything at this point. A little wrestling. The W season starts on Thursday. So if you like to watch along with us, or at least have a community to talk some hoops while we're watching hoops, I would highly recommend it. The link to the room is in the description. Also, a whole lot of video games being played. We're doing Dunker Spot Fall Guys and Dunker Spot Fortnite and a whole lot of college football 25. Dunker Dynasty is now begun. So I'm excited to see what that turns into as we are officially in week 0, I think. A few matchups there. We're doing a one-star dynasty, so everyone choose. I am the University of Charlotte, so send me all of your well wishes and prayers as I try to recruit with 400 hours, which is not ideal, but we're going to get it together. Either way, link to the room is in the podcast description. Click on that. It's free to create your profile. If you want to rock with an awesome group of folks, we are the place to be, so come hang with us. And with that, we'll catch y'all later in the week.
Oh, man, good job, Nikai. That's fun stuff. I was locked in. I walk in, I hit it, and I quit it. Then I go on to the next.